Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? The week has been a great week. I've experienced the goodness of the Lord, and God has been good, and I believe that He has been good to you. It's good to see your faces. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Israel, Brother Carlos, Sister Christine, Sister Catherine, and Sister Lorraine for the work that you guys do. And also in absentia, Brother JJ. That worship was a wonderful, glorious experience for me. And I believe you've been blessed. Amen. Keep praying for them so that God can take us higher and higher and higher. It is also a beautiful thing to see children come and present songs here. It blesses my heart. And if it blesses my heart, I believe that it blesses the heart of Jesus more. Amen. So thank you so much for all of you who take time to teach them the Bible verses and teach them the songs. Jimmy, you've been doing a good job. Keep it up. And I think we all need to follow in the examples of Jimmy, because I think he does a super. I don't know whether it's you or Felista, but anyway, you receive the credit in any way. But it's a wonderful thing, because, you know, when they come and stand here, they are building up confidence. You know, I thank God, you know, for the confidence that Grace has, that she can come and just give glory to God, even for what the Lord has done for her. So what a beautiful experience. Thank you, parents. Thank you, James. Thank you, Beatrice. And thank you all for all that you do. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go into our text today. Last week, we had a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord as we shared the word of the Lord from the book of Romans, chapter number 7. And I have some intentions to build on that this week and next week. I believe we'll be able to close on what the Lord has laid in my spirit. And I told you last week that the Lord laid in my spirit that we need to understand the purpose of the Spirit of God in our lives. The purpose of the Lord in our lives is to bear fruits of righteousness. Amen. And if we understand what it takes to bear the fruits of righteousness, or the fruit of the Spirit for that matter, I solely believe that is the gospel. And I believe that the world is devoid of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why the Lord would want us to be bearers of that fruit, so that the world can be the beneficiary, or rather, the world can receive the Lord through our fruit-bearing process that is initiated by the Spirit of the living God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to bless your name. We thank you, Father. God, I call for alertness of our hearts, that we may be able to receive that which you've laid in our spirits, prepared for us and laid in my spirit for us today, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you shall just use me as a conduit, a vessel to deliver the word of the Lord even to our hearts today. I pray that the word of the Lord shall not be stolen by the devil, in the name of Jesus. I take power and authority over every scheme of darkness in the name of Jesus, over any hovering spirits of the evil one in the name of Jesus. I arrest you right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that this word shall help us even to go to the next level, and even to understand the plan that you have for us, even as we continue to sojourn, even towards the home that you're preparing for each one of us, and that is heaven. I just want to thank you for each and every one of us. Thank you for the opportunity that you afforded us to come to this house that is called by your name. And I pray that our stay here, the next few minutes that we have, will not be in vain. We open up our hearts and spirits to you, that you may minister to us. Holy Spirit of the living God, take over in this service, even as you have done through the worship. Minister to our hearts in Jesus' precious name. And someone who loves him, shout a big amen. 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 So last week we checked on Romans number 12, and I thought it was really beneficial for us to understand the justification by faith. And Paul was admonishing the Romans in the book of Romans chapter number 7. that justification doesn't come by the law. And even though the Lord intended for the law to be good and righteous, and he had good intentions for the law, but when the law was introduced into the heart of man, we saw last week that sin is embedded in the flesh. When a child is born, he carries a DNA of sin that is inherited from Adam. You know, and Adam inherited or received sin because of disobeying God right from the beginning when God put him in the Garden of Eden. And we find that sin has been transmitted throughout generation. And we saw how even a little child, when he is born, his heart is inclined to do bad things. You know, he is inclined to do wrong things. He is inclined to disobey you. He is inclined, you know, the trait of a human being when he comes from the womb of our mother is just within the realm of the flesh. And the desires of the flesh are anti-God. They perform acts that God doesn't love. They perform things that are anti-God. And we found that, you know, God, through the process and through our generations, he introduces the prophets and he introduces the law. But when the law, which is just and good, is introduced into a human being or into the human race, it spurs up the sin that is embedded in the flesh. And after the sin was spurred up, it begins to act, or it begins some work that led into a production of a fruit that led to death. And so we found that no matter how we can try to obey the law, we cannot fulfill the law of Christ. And that's why after all was said and done, the Father found that that this thing that he had initiated was not going anywhere. And he had to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to go through the process of the cross. That through his death and through his resurrection, death would be put to death. I mean, sin would be put to death in human flesh. Are we all together to this point? So through the death of Jesus, sin has been put to death through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Bible tells us that when death could not hold Jesus, and he overcame death. And you know the process. When Jesus died, after the third day, Jesus Christ resurrected. And the Bible tells us that when he resurrected, I mean, there were so many things that happened in the world at that particular time. Graves opened up. There were earthquakes. There was such power. And that power is still prevalent today. And that power is resident in the life of a believer. Praise be to God. That power that brought Jesus out of the grave, that power that could not contain the Lord's death in his sepulchre, that power is resident when we died with him and rose up with him. That power is resident in the life of a believer. Praise be to God. And what has happened is the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ said that I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. In other words, through his death, the righteous purpose of the law that was intended into the human spirit is now fulfilled in Christ. So that when the life-giving spirit of the Lord lands into the life of a believer, he initiates, or in other words, he is presented with a heart that sin has been eliminated through his death, and his life-giving spirit begins work on that heart. Amen? So your heart is like a garden. Say, my heart is like a garden. Yeah, your heart is like a little garden that when presented to the Lord begins to work on that piece of land. And he not only begins to work on that land, he wants to ensure that there is productivity in that land. And the Bible says that the working of the Spirit in us causes us to bear fruit, the fruit of righteousness. And that's what we are calling the fruit of the Spirit. So with the presence of the law in us, we cannot fulfill the mandate of God in us in the fulfillment or in the production of a fruit of the Spirit. We can only do so by the power of the Spirit of God that is in work in us. Remember, the Bible says that the Spirit of God helps us. It is him who helps us to will and to do that which is the perfect will of God. Amen? So the Lord is at work in you. Can you say that with me? The Lord is at work in my life. You don't have to feel it. You don't even have to sense it. You don't even have, it doesn't have to be witnessed by anybody. But whether you know it or you don't know it, when you surrender your heart to the Lord, and when you completely yield your soul unto the Lord for salvation, He begins a good work in your spirit. So He is doing some work. There is some knocking down. You may not really listen or hear with your physical eyes, but I feel that there are some virtual bulldozers that are moving sand from one place to another and creating streets and avenues in your heart, preparing you and aligning you up so that you can be a bearer of the fruit of righteousness for the Lord's glory. And the Lord says that He is pleased when we bear much fruit for Him. Amen? The Lord is glorified when there's a depiction of the character of God in our lives. When there's love, genuine love, and authentic love that is flowing from us to another individual. When there is meekness, and when there is forbearance, when there's patience, and when there's the whole content of the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? Heaven rejoices about your life. It rejoices to see that you're loving each other. And when I was reading about this, I read somebody who said that the fruit of the Spirit is not a trait of a human being. You are never born with the trait of the Spirit of the Lord. It is the working of this. It takes the workmanship of the Holy Spirit in order for you to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. So you know, you need to know from today that when you love, and when you love genuinely, you need to know that when you have patience with me, you need to know that when you have forbearance with one another, it is the work of the Holy Spirit moving stuff in your heart and aligning you up so that you can bear the character of Christ in your life. Amen. Can you thank God for that? Can you shout a big amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let us go into the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter number 5. And if you're there, can you say a big amen, because you might as well read for us. If you're in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, shout a big amen. Are you there? If you're in Galatians 5, shout an amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't have it, then it's on there on the screen so we can read together. Galatians chapter number 5. This is a chapter that Paul is, I believe, is just a continuation of what we are looking at from the book of Romans, chapter number 7. And this is what Paul writes to the Galatians. The Bible says, stand. And I believe that he is also writing this not only to the Galatians, but to the Christian community in whom we belong. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. I don't know. Okay, I love that translation there. It says, for freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. It is for freedom that Christ has set us what? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Verse number 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from the grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. If we are just to peep on those just few verses right there so that I can explain to you what it means. Now, in order for anybody to be accepted or to be admitted in Judaism in the days that Paul is talking to the Galatians, One had to be initiated. You know, in other words, you had to go through a process. One of the major processes that you had to undergo was to be circumcised in order for you to be entered or to be accepted, you know, as a bona fide member of the Judaism religion. And so, after you had undergone all this, you are now accepted, you know, and you do practice Judaism, and you are allowed to perform all the ceremonies. And the one thing that they were really, really strict about is that you are to obey the law. Amen? You are to obey the law of Moses. You are to obey the law that was stipulated in order for you to be accepted as one who was practicing Judaism. Now, this is exactly what they believe, even though they may not have been aware that they were trying to impress God. In other words, they were trying to be justified by the law. And this is the same thing that we've been trying to say, even from the book of Romans chapter number 7, that the law could not fulfill its mission in us. It is only the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of Christ, when he comes and saves us, because Christ, by his own power, as we have said it again, came and destroyed the power of sin in us. And he began work. In other words, he came in the place. He replaced sin in us, sin that had an ability to do some work in us and produce a fruit that led to death. The Spirit of Christ came and replaced sin and began work that now, and he is at work even at this very moment, tending towards the fruit of righteousness. And so Paul is writing to the Galatians and he's telling them, it doesn't mean anything to God whether you are going to be circumcised, because this is exactly what they believed. They believed that first of all you had to be initiated to become to practice Judaism, and later you'd become a Christian. And so Paul is telling them, all this is irrelevant. All you need is the life-giving Spirit of Christ to land in your spirit and do the work that we have all talked about, and then you will be able to tend towards bearing a fruit of the Spirit. So he is telling them, it doesn't matter whether you're going to be circumcised. It doesn't matter whether you're going to be uncircumcised. It doesn't matter whether you're going to believe as a Gentile that this is exactly what I'm supposed to do in order for me to please God. He says all those things become irrelevant, praise the Lord, when Jesus Christ is introduced to us. Amen? So he, in other words, is telling them, all you need to do is embrace Christ. Embrace the Christ of God, the anointed one who has the power to kill or to destroy the sin that is in the flesh. And so he's telling them, whether circumcision, whether no circumcision, all these things are irrelevant as far as Christ is concerned. Are we all together up to that point? Praise the Lord. Let us continue. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from... verse number 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Verse number 11. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Verse number 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. In other words, we've been called to freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And I'll repeat that. I wish verse number 11 would be there, right there, and so I can read that translation, Sister Lorraine. Verse number 13. On my verse number 13 here, the New King James says this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only do not use your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants to one another. Praise the Lord. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen? But if you bite and devour one another, be aware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse number 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and we shall read there. Now, Paul clearly stipulates what it means to have the Spirit of the Lord work in us so that we can bear fruits. And he also outlines the dangers of taking advantage of what we have received. And this is taking advantage of not standing firm and allowing the Spirit of God to work in us, and so that we are found doing the contrary. And so I have a question to pose to you. Is it possible for somebody who has the Spirit of Christ to walk in the flesh? Is it possible? Thank you. Because Paul has said it to us in verse number 13, right? For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not use the liberty that we have received for the flesh. Amen? So I read somewhere, and it really blessed me. As I was researching, this is what somebody says here, and this person, you know, just wrote a commentary on that particular verse, and their name is Alikia and Nida, and this is what they say: is those who do this cut themselves off from Christ; they have fallen from the grace. In other words, this is what they emphasize, and this is what they say: that the grace, it is not that the grace has not been taken away from them, but they have turned their backs on it. Amen? They have turned their backs on it. So, in other words, you might have this question and say, "Oh, Pastor, I read in the news the other day of this pastor who just went out with a member of another lady who was not his wife. Can you explain what happened?" This is the answer I'll give to you. It is not that the grace departed from them. Amen? It is not that the grace was removed from them, but they turned their back on it. Amen? So, and that's why Paul is emphasizing and really encouraging us, and he's telling us, stand firm and allow the Spirit of God to work in you. So, we are not going to take this liberty and just decide, you know what, I don't need it, you know, I can do whatever I want. Paul says that that's exactly what's not going to happen. He says that we have to stand firm and yield ourselves to the working of the Spirit of God. And when the working of the Spirit of God has started and begun in our lives, then we'll be on our way to yielding a fruit of the Spirit. Praise be to God. I read a story, and I believe some of you read the story of a guy in Michigan. His name was James Robinson. How many of you read his story? Is this guy who walked 20, you know, the story says that he was walking 21 miles one way to work. And he did not do this for, he did not do this for 1 week. He did not do it for 2 weeks. He did not do it for 1 month. He did it for 10 years. And when I read this story, I said, wow. What manner of zeal and will this guy had. And the guy is 56 years old. And he says that, you know, the story went that he was probably walking about 10 miles, hoping a bus, in a bus maybe for another 3 miles, and then he would alight and then walk about another few miles. In total, it was about 21 miles. And I read of the story that the people who hired him, they said that they measured the standard of attendance through this man, because he was never late. Think of people who had their nice cars and they came to work late, And I was really challenged by that. You know, when he said that I measured our attendance. Our attendance was measured by this man who walks 21 miles. Now, the reason why he was walking is because, you know, he had a car that broke down and he could not fix it. His pay could not afford, it was not enough to fix his car. And so, I mean, he had to go to work. He had to support his family. And so through the generosity of a few people, I think, who knew him or who saw this man doing it over and over again, they posted his story in one of the newspaper, you know, the local newspaper. And they started a GoFundMe. For some of you who have read the story. The story went to about 300, I think 320,000. They worked hard to raise money to buy this guy a car. And this is one of the, I really love this story because this is, if anything, this guy is an American hero. He's a guy who really is a model to most of us. Amen? He just walked 21 miles every single day. And so this guy just said, GoFundMe. The intention was to raise about $15,000 to buy him a car so that it would save him from the agony and the stress of walking all these miles to work back and forth. And so as I read the story, you know, the people poured up. They were so generous, and they poured out their finances and support. And finally, he walked into a Ford dealership, and guess what? He was given a brand new Ford Taurus, a brand new. He was crying. You'd see that video. He was just crying. He couldn't believe that people who did not know him would come to his aid and help him. Amen? And why am I giving this story? The reason why I'm giving you this story is this. Suppose this guy who people have poured their love towards and they have really raised a lot of money. Actually, he's going to start up maybe to invest the 350. Suppose this guy says, you know what? I'll take my Ford Taurus and I'm gonna put it in my house and I'm gonna save it and I'm gonna start. I'll keep doing what I was doing. I'll start walking 21 miles. You know, I'll keep it aside and you know what? I don't want even to use any mileage. You know, sometimes how we do. You know, you have a car and you don't want to go to Houston. You have to rent a car. Come on now. You have to be delivered out of some things. There was a time I had a car. I think it had almost 80,000 miles. And I wanted to rent. I know this car can get me to Houston. But I don't want to add a lot of mileage in my car. And my wife would be like, why did you buy the car in the first place? So I was delivered from that anyway. That was by the way. So this car would just clean it up, you know, and maybe put a cover on it and say, thank you so much for what you did, but I'll continue walking 21 miles to and back from. Would it make any sense? Would it make any sense? It wouldn't make any sense because somebody somewhere who even didn't know him has given him the freedom from what he was going through. He was bound and he could not get himself out of his situation. And he was walking through the snow. There are pictures of him walking through the snow, 56 years old. And he says, I cannot miss work. Why? Because he needed to provide for his family. But I'm sure even as he walked every single mile, maybe in his heart he pondered, I wish one day God will help me to raise some money to buy a car. And here would be a car, and not only just a car, but it's a brand new car. He is the first owner, and you just put it aside, and you say, you know what? I don't want to use that car that I was given, and I would walk 21 miles every to and from. It would not make sense, right? But that is exactly what happens to us sometimes, that the Spirit of Christ has come to give us freedom and liberty, yet we still want to go back to our old ways. We want to turn back to the freedom that Christ is offering to us, and you know what? Jesus is going to be glorified by his work in us. Amen? So we still want to continue to walk the 21 miles back and forth, and we are tired and we are stressed and we do not have any energy to continue. But if we would have just embraced the car and thank God for it and said, God, I now have freedom. I can drive to work and back and forth. I don't have, my muscle doesn't have to, you know, my body doesn't have to be subjected to all this kind of stress. And this is exactly what the Spirit of God is telling us, that we yield ourselves, that we surrender our hearts, that is the garden, that it may begin to work in it. Amen? Hallelujah. But when we, let me tell you, this is exactly what happens. Have you heard stories and read stories of even people who call themselves men of God doing things that when you hear, you wonder, why were they doing such things? Or you heard maybe an elder of a church or a brother that was so committed to the Lord, but just suddenly something happened and they fell out and they were doing things that were not expected of their calling. It is not that the grace was taken away from them, but they turned their back towards the freedom that Christ offers. Amen. May it not be so at Empowerment Christian Center that we are going to turn our backs to the life-giving Spirit of Christ that is freely given to us and has introduced grace, the unmerited favor in our hearts. And remember, the Bible says that the grace of the Lord that we have received teaches us to say no to unrighteousness. Amen. It is in the book of Titus that the grace of the Lord that we have received teaches us to say no to unrighteousness. Amen? Are we together? Can somebody say a big amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. By the way, I went out to check some of these words because I could not even understand what it means. There was debauchery. Do you know what debauchery means? Such a big word. You know, when somebody is walking under debauchery, debaucherous. Huh? This person is debaucherous, debaucherousness. Debauchery is excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Amen? Well, that's not an amen. Maybe we say no amen on that. Excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. These are the works of the flesh. When you feel or when you hear anybody who is in Christ, or when you see anybody who is inclined to this, to the what is mentioned there, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. Immorality is not a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it? Are you ready? Let me see whether the kids are here. Now, how many of you... how many of you witnessed some cows that are in a shed somewhere? The shed is put nicely and there's grass and there's vegetation. But there's always the tendency of this cow thinking that the grass is greener on their other side of the fence. Have you ever seen that? And it is trying to really, a cow would want even to be cut on the neck, trying to reach out for grass on the other side. And that grass is still on. It is still where it is. It can enjoy it. Sexual immorality is nothing else. It can be defined in two. If you're married to your wife, you're supposed to offer, to be joined together in the woman of your marriage, and there are things that God has set for the two to enjoy themselves, the sexual pleasure that is supposed to be between those two that are married. But when a woman or a man begins to see grass being greener in other areas, then they fall under sexual immorality. Amen? Can we talk about this? When somebody is not born again, or when somebody is not married, and they are born again, or somebody who is not, officially married, when they go out with somebody and have sexual relationship, God does not allow that, and that is called fornication. Amen. So when you do that, you fall under that category of sexual immorality, and those are the fruits of the flesh. Okay. It says the fruits of the flesh are evident. And so when you find somebody, you hear somebody, oh, that man is a womanizer. Oh, that woman is a manizer. Have you ever heard something like that? When you hear things like those, the works of the flesh are, and they need the regeneration by the Spirit of God so that they cannot fall under, so that they will no longer fall under that category. Amen? So when you When you show your back to the freedom that Christ gives you, you can easily fall under that category. And I hear a question, somebody saying, oh, is that why I heard somebody, a renowned pastor somewhere who did this and that, and he was walking this and that, and there were all reports across the emailing and the WhatsApp and everything. What they just did is that the grace was not taken from them, but they turned their back towards Christ. Moral impurity. That one is obvious, right? Promiscuity. Idolatry. Idolatry is worshiping of other gods. Sorcery. Sorcery. You know what sorcery is? Urogi. Uchawi. You know? Anybody has ever gone to a psychic, you know, to have their palms read? Never ever go to a psychic. They advertise themselves and they tell you it's only $20. They tell you to bring a white chicken and a black rabbit. All that is nonsense. Take your petitions to God in prayer. Amen? So when you have been inclined to think that, oh, I've prayed and nothing is coming forth, and you feel like you have a result, you will resort to visiting a psychic, those are obvious. Those are the works of the flesh. Hatred. Huh? Hatred. Do you know what hatred means? You hating one another. By the way, the Bible says that hatred is as good as murder. It is the other definition of murder. When you hate your brother, it means that you are murdering them. Now, you know what hatred means? You just hate somebody just for the sake of it. You don't even want to talk to them. You don't want to even see them. There's something about you that doesn't like anything about that person. That is hatred. And those are the works of the. Why are you not saying it hard? The works. You know, those things are not found in Empowerment Christian Center. They're outside there. We ourselves here, we are very, very spiritual. So don't think that I'm talking about you. But I'm saying that it can jump into us if we turn our backs towards God. Amen? So those things are not here. But hatred, when you hate one another, are there people that you don't talk to? Are there people when you look at them, you wish that they were dead? Are there people when you think about them, you even pray, Lord, cause them to have an accident? Are there people that you wish, the Homeland Security calls them and deposits them to Kenya? Are there people when you think about them, you wish, oh, I wish they just divorce. I wish, why are they together? They got it so together and I don't like it. I just hate it. I wish they can divorce. And this is your plea. I say, shindwe in the name of Jesus. Those are the works of the flesh. When you see people having trouble in their marriage, you need to go on your knees and in petition to God, tell them, whatever God puts together, nothing, no one shall put asunder. And I refuse, as a child of God, that Sister X is going to be separated from Brother X. You are the God-sent person that is supposed to stand in the gap and fight for their relationship. Are you listening to me? That is bearing. That is what God would want to happen in our lives. Jealousy, strife. Oh, we cannot even. How could I skip strife? Do you know what strife is? Would you want to know what strife is? Strife is nothing else but planting seeds of discord so that there can be chaos. In other words, you are used by the agent. You are an agent of the. Can I say it? There can only be an agent of God and an agent of that. You said it, I didn't say it. Okay, that one. So you are used and unawares, and you are still a child of God, but you want to plant seeds of discord so that there can be chaos. You know in your knower that what you are giving out is false information, but you pick up your phone and you call so-and-so. Oh, you know what so-and-so did. You know this is. And while you are doing, the devil is clapping. Yeah! They are on the aisles. The demons, they are changiriaring you. Yeah! Continue. Tell them even what they did. And it's a lie. You're being used by the devil to plant seeds of discord to destroy one another. Amen? Strife. Jealousy. What is jealousy? The Bible says now the works of the flesh are obvious. What is jealousy? Listen, I googled that one. Jealousy is feeling resentment against someone because of that person's rivalry, in other words, you don't like them, because of that person's success or advantage. Having feelings of resentments. Have you ever had feelings of resentments? I didn't ask anybody. I'm not looking at anybody. Did you have any feelings of resentments because of somebody who was being blessed so much and you felt, I wish that business would crumble. I wish IRS would come with their fathers and mothers and audit them until they are done. I wish they can crumble overnight. I wish they can die of an accident. You have feelings of resentment. You don't want to be just because they are blessed. Instead of saying, God, I thank you. Because that is your child. And I thank you. And you can actually pray with a swagger. I thank you, Lord. Because, Lord, they were just in line ahead of me. And I know that I'm next in the line to be blessed. Lord, I line myself up. Whatever they did, Lord, I want to do. I submit myself to you, Lord. I'm your servant. You can bless me. If you bless them, you can bless me. If you have that kind of a prayer attitude, you will go far. Look for somebody who is always negative. I wish they can crumble. I wish they can. You will never go anywhere. I can tell you. If you're always resentful about what people's success and you wish them even though, and when you're with them, you're talking very nicely. Oh, yeah. Oh, how are you doing it now? How are you doing? But you want to get the information so that you can really feel agitated and feeling like, how are you feeling, my sister? The worst information that you can receive from somebody when which you hate is like, oh, I'm doing well, I'm blessed. Actually, my business is doing well, and I'm making the money. God is, I have money in the bank. All my bills are paid. Oh, I've never defaulted on my mortgage. That is your worst nightmare. Oh, that's what is happening. Oh, praise the Lord. But the moment you get out, why, Lord? What is happening, Lord? I thought I told you to crumble their business. They have been doing evil. Let me tell you. You may laugh at this, but let me tell you, it happens. Not everybody who you think is your friend is your friend. And that's why you need to be very, very careful who you share your information with. I am not going to share with you information if I know. Because I know. I told you. I think Julius was telling us. Words have creative power. We are like God. God spoke and the earth was in existence. I don't want to battle. I don't want to be involved in a fight that I'm not supposed to fight. I don't want to share with you some information and in the night you're thinking and you're speaking words in the spirit, you're trying to stagnate me and trying to pull me back from where God is taking me. So I'll be very limited. I'll be very careful with what I tell you. I have to know you. I have to know you as a man of your words. I have to know you as a man of prayer before I can tell you what I'm planning to do. Do not just open up your mouth that, oh, every time you open, this is what I'm planning. Oh, this is what I... Where? They say in Swahili, utamuona chamtema kuni. Dissension. These are the evident works of the flesh. Dissension. Dissension is the disagreement that leads to discord and or quarrel. Disagreement that leads to discord or quarrel. You know that when that brother is there trying to disagree, you better move aside. Because there are going to be stars flying in a few minutes. Well, you say that my car is a Toyota Camry and my dad is a Nissan Sentra. Why are you saying my car is a Nissan Sentra? Why are you saying that? Why are you saying before you know it? Why are you saying that? Come on, yaga. You know what I'm trying to say? Jenny, the disagreement is always known that it will lead to chaos. That when you hear that they're involved in a chaotic place, you had better start moving slowly because the blood is going to start falling back. And you start interceding actually while you're going back. Help them, Lord, because I know what is. You already know what's going to happen. The spirit of dissension. Not here in apartment. If you are a visitor, we need to check you out. Dissension. Disagreements that always lead to quarrel. These are the works of the flesh, my sister, my brother. The works of the flesh are evident. And if we would move from the Spirit of Christ, guess what? Don't think that you're invincible. Don't think that, oh, me, I cannot be fallen by a lady. Who are you? Without Christ, it is only Christ who prevents us from that happening. Don't ever let those that are think that are strong be careful because they can also sleep. They can fall. I can also fall. But in Shinto, I cannot fall. I can fall, but I'm not going to fall because the Spirit of God is on my side. And I'm fully surrendered to God. I am the garden of the Lord. And He is working a work in my life so that I can brood fruit of righteousness. I would hate for you to read about me in the newspapers. That pastor who prays, that pastor who worships and he cries, he does that for fake. He has been found with andokondoko somewhere. There are people who do things, when you hear what they do behind in the cover of darkness, you would really run away. The fruit of the Spirit. God does, the works of the flesh are obvious. And what is the next one? Functions. Functions is taking sides. You know, you are good at taking sides. If you are Abaluya on this side, if you are Golmaya, if your team is not Golmaya, I'm just speaking figuratively. If your team is not Golmaya, you hate everybody that is on the other side. If you are on, what are the football teams? The Cowboys? Or on the other teams? Seahawks. If you're on the Seahawks, you don't want to see anybody who is on the other side. Functions. Envy. What is envy? I googled envy. Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantage and successes. In other words, yani, you are seeing that Gide is so blessed and he has a truck and he has a business going and you say, you're just praying, I wish he can crumble and I take over. Spirit of envy. Yeah? Feeling of discontent or covetousness. Covetousness is greedness. You think you wish you can have somebody's property and you go around his house and claiming it. From today, this house of Gideon is mine in the name of Jesus in the midnight when he's asleep with his family. He's waking up and he's hearing maybe the dogs of the neighbor barking and there's somebody going around his rise, around like the walls of Jericho. You say to even the Israelites, they went through the walls of Jericho. Lord, this is the seventh time and you're walking through. Shindweyo. Why don't you trust God? The man has trusted God and waited upon God many times in the sacred place so that God can bless him. He has been faithful in the tithing. When were you last faithful in his tithing? Unataka tu za wenyewe and you are not faithful. Why? I mean, listen. Sometimes we expect so much from God and on our side of bargain, we don't fulfill. We have also to fulfill our side of the bargain. Do everything that God expects us to do so that he can also bless us. Are you listening to me? Stop coveting people's things. Don't covet somebody's wife. Don't covet somebody's car. If you are driving a junkie, come to me. I'll tell you what you need to do so that you can drive the next level. I have laid hands on cars here. That means God is blessing us, man. Somebody calls me, come and bless my car. I bless. Come and bless my truck. Come and lay you. Come with the anointing oil, pastor. God is taking me to the next level. I've done that. If you want me to come and lay the hands on that junkie, call me. I'll come and do the opposite if there is something that I can do. So that you can go to the next level. But stop coveting people's things. Trust in God. God is faithful. Are you listening to me? What is the next one? And I'm concluding because we cannot. Okay. Carousing. Now, I'll not even go there. And anything similar about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Orgies. In fact, it says here, orgies. Orgies are wild or drunken festivities or revelry, especially involving sex with multiple participants or partners or whoever they are. It is involving yourself with drunkenness. People who involve themselves with drunkenness, when somebody is drunk, he doesn't even care. He can go with multiple women and have sex with them. Those are the works of the flesh. And we are not going to be found there. In fact, the Bible says that we are no longer under the realm of the flesh. But if we would turn our backs towards what God has offered, then you inevitably would be committed to those things even when you do not know it. So when you hear a story of somebody, oh, this man, we thought that he was doing, he is a preacher and he has even opened blind eyes. Not all who call God, the Lord, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to be discernful. There are people who have mixed up some chemicals and called it blood. Some of those people, I don't even know whether they ever knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't even speak about them. When you hear a man of God that have fallen into sin, pray that God, that he will expose himself to the grace of the Lord so that God can start working his life. Are you listening to me? Don't be the one to cut them and completely to put them in hell, because that's where they are going. Pray for them. Amen? If you see a brother, yesterday I met somebody, and it's actually this African-American friend of mine. And I realized, this man, I realized that he told me of a business partner that, you know, this lady who was in the army, and she is now a VA, and she is really schooled, by the way. And she told me that, this lady is willing, and she's going to apply for a loan, and she's going to give me part of the money so I can do whatever I want to do. So how can you help me, Pastor Tony? And I realized that this relationship was going beyond the business partner. And I had to confront him and ask him, so and so, I think there's something that I don't understand, because ever since you told me about this business partner, not only have I heard you every time you're calling me, you're mentioning her name more than your wife, but I think there's something wrong. Can you come clean? Let me tell you. The guy told me, yeah, you're right. Something is happening, and I've already told my wife, you know, the feelings that I have for this other. And I said, God Almighty. So I told him, how would you give 100% to, and by the way, if you knew the wife is so loving, she is so tender. I mean, it is the kind of a woman you wouldn't want her, you wouldn't want anything to happen to. Because she is so loving, she is so tender, she is so, you know, humble. She's not even like a, you know, like an African-American woman. She's like an African woman. She's the kind of a lady, I think if she had a garden, she can go with a djembe and dig. You know? I told her, how do you think that you're going to give 100% to your wife and give also, how are you going to share the 100% that you're supposed to give to your wife that you're giving to this other lady? She said, yeah, I know that's going to be a problem. Yeah, because I told him, even sometimes giving 100% to your own wife is not sometimes possible. You know, you want to give it 100%, but you are drawn by other things. So I told him, it is better for you to stop and be committed to your wife. You know, I was really thorough on him. But when he told me that he had already told the wife, and the wife was away, I rested my case. I said, okay, I'll pray that God will help them out. Amen? Are you listening to me? Now the works of the flesh are obvious. So we cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit if we are giving ourselves to the work of the flesh. We need to run away from the flesh, because when we give ourselves to the flesh, when you turn away from the Spirit of the Lord, then we can fulfill the desires of the flesh. Are you listening to me? Do you still love me? I hope that we are getting some help. Now, the next week, we are going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and who that worketh in us. And how is it that we cannot produce that fruit by ourselves? It is the work of the Lord. Amen. Remember that the traits of the Spirit the fruit of the Spirit, it is not a natural trait of a human being. It is acquired. You get it from the Spirit of God. So we are gonna examine how we can completely surrender ourselves so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Shall we stand on our feet, please? Amen. By the way, I realize sometimes, you know, it's good for us to learn the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's not just going to be shouting. Sometimes we have to speak the truth as it is. Amen? So that we can be pre-warned, you know, over the wrath that can come to us when we do not obey the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you for this, brethren. This, my brothers and my sisters, I declare a blessing over each one of them. Lord, I thank you because this, in their hearts, dwells the Spirit of Christ. And Father God, the Bible tells us that he who has the Spirit of Christ belongs to Christ. It belongs to God. I pray that we shall completely yield and surrender our hearts, that we may yield the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of Christ has dealt with the sin in our flesh, and we want to dwell in the realms of the Spirit of God. Help us to understand this concept. Because not only is it going to be delivering, it is going to be beneficial in terms of bringing glory to you. May you help each and every one of us. Father, for some that the enemy could be taking advantage or planning to take advantage over, Lord, I render the plans powerless right now. In the name of Jesus. Any plan that is being planned undercover right now, I render it powerless in the name of Jesus. I declare that we shall be totally surrendered to the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we shall not be conceited or thinking that we got it all together, but Father, we surrender unto you. When we do so, Lord, you are able to help us. You are able to lead and to guide us into paths of righteousness. Father, your word says, teach us your ways that we may learn the truth. Teach us your ways, O God. We desire to learn from you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray for each and every family. Lord, I speak your blessings over each and every one of us. May you lead, may you guide, may you protect us. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every family. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every child in the name of Jesus. The devil will never find their ways into our children's life in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and I bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can you give Jesus a mighty hand clap offering? Glory to God.